Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. I'd like to send special thanks to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, who allows me to come on before you every Saturday morning and break bread with you. Amen. They have a program which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the name of their program is Turn on the Light Broadcast. Turn on the Light Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They're also the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where their leaders are Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, who is also the co-founder, and their senior pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. They have services every Sunday beginning at 9 a.m. with Sunday school, and they also have worship service starting at 10 a.m. They have Bible studies every Wednesday. Every Wednesday at noon, you can actually call this number, 917-388-4161, and listen to their Bible study live. And they also have Bible studies every Wednesday evenings at their location at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. You can catch them on YouTube, Facebook, and their website is cometothelight.org. Comingtothelight.org. Well, I thank you once again for calling in. And before we get into the word, we're going to hear a song. Amen.
This ain't no ordinary.
Oh,
You deserve my praise, adoration and glory.
Hallelujah. You deserve my worship, God. You deserve my praise, adoration, and glory belongs to you, Ways. Hallelujah. Is that your confession this morning? This ain't no ordinary worship. This ain't no ordinary praise. Hallelujah. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul magnifies him. My soul glorifies him. My soul praises him. My soul worships him. Hallelujah. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your joy. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for deliverance. Hallelujah. Glory. Bless your name, Jesus. You deserve my worship. You deserve my praise. Hallelujah. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. Glory. Well, thank you once again for calling in. We're going to get into the word. Amen. Stay in the spirit of worship. Spirit of praise. We're going to be coming out of the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 107, starting at verse 15. Psalm chapter 107, starting at verse 15. And it reads, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhors all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I want to read that one again, verse 20. Says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The title of the message this morning is Sent Just for You. Sent Just for You. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for watching over us as we lay down to rest before you, God. Thank you for waking us up this morning to see another beautiful, glorious, magnificent day that you have made. For we shall rejoice and be glad in it, Father. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come into your presence once again, to sit at your feet, to rest on your lap, to lay on your bosom, God, to hear your heartbeat. to receive what you will have to say to us this morning, to equip us, to prepare us, to make us ready, God, to build us up and encourage us, God, to go into this world and do what you called us to do. Thank you for your word, Father, your word that heals, your word that saves, your word that delivers, your word that sets free them who are captive and bound in what we call sin. Thank you for Holy Spirit, Father, our comforter, our teacher, our guide. Thank you for you, Father. Almighty God, our Father, creator of heaven and earth, thank you for your son, Jesus, who you sent to be the propitiation for our sins, our Messiah, our Savior, our Deliverer, our Elder Brother, our Kinsman Redeemer. Thank you, Father, for allowing him to go to the cross. And thank you for allowing him to go to hell in our place, Father. And take the keys of hell from Satan. And thank you for raising him up on the third day with all power, God, and receiving him in heaven with his precious blood. And now, Father, as we receive your word, bind all distractions, bind all hindrances. We thank you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Sent just for you. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Sent just for you. As we read in Psalm, the last scripture is what we're going to focus on. It said he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent his word. We're gonna talk about his word this morning. How did he send his word? Let's go to John, St. John, first chapter. Starting at verse 1. And it reads, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now let's go to verse 10. And it reads, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh. That Word that was in the beginning with God, the Word that was with God, that Word that was God, the Word that created all things, the Word that was in the world, and the world knew him not. The Word that has life. That Word made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That word. Let's go to St. John 3rd chapter. Just want to lay a foundation. St. John 3rd chapter at verse 16. And it reads, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, who is the Word." So, understanding that the Word is the only begotten Son of the Father. Now let's go to St. Matthew, the first chapter. St. Matthew, the first chapter, starting at verse 18. And it reads, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, they were engaged, they weren't married. Before they came together, she was found with child." Before they came together, before they had sex, before they made love, whatever you want to call it. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. This is what makes Jesus different. Verse 19 says, "Then Joseph, her husband," see, now they're married. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's what Emmanuel means, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus, the Word of God. So let's go back to St. John, the third chapter, verse 16. Understand that Jesus, the only begotten Son of the Father, is also the Word of God. Let's read it as such. For God so loved the world that he sent his word, that whosoever believeth in his word should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his word into the world to condemn the world, that the world through his word might be saved. He that believeth on his word is not condemned, but he that believeth not his word is condemned already, because he had not believed in his word. Sent just for you. God sent his word just for you. Now let's go to St. Luke. St. Luke, fourth chapter. Starting at verse 1. And it reads, And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, trying to make him question his identity. If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered them, saying, It is written. It is written. That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. In him, in the word, was life. Now let's go over to verse 14. And it reads, And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue was fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day, this moment in time, right now, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now, it says in verse 17 that it was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah is another name for Isaiah. So let's go there. Isaiah, the 61st chapter. We're going to see where he found the place. Isaiah 61. It says, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Where it was written about him. Isaiah 61, verse 1, and it reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This is what Jesus read. But then what stands out to me is when he says, he has sent me. He sent me, Jesus, he sent me, the only begotten Son. He sent me his word just for you. See, Jesus was anointed to do two things. He was anointed to preach, and he was anointed to heal. He was anointed to preach, and he was anointed to heal. He was anointed to preach the gospel, the good news, to the poor or to the destitute or the needy. He was sent to preach deliverance to captives in sin. To captives in sickness, to captives in death. He was sent to preach the acceptable year, or the period specified by the year of Jubilee, when liberty was proclaimed to all people on the Day of Atonement. See, he was sent to give us liberty, to free us, to deliver us, to set us free. And he was sent to heal. He was anointed to heal the broken in heart, the broken in mind, the broken in soul, and the broken in body. He was anointed to heal the blind in body, soul, and spirit. Those in darkness. That's why I said that he's the light, the true light, and he was anointed to heal the bruised, the completely crushed and shattered in life, the oppressed and the broken. Jesus was sent to preach and to heal. That's what the word of God is for. The word of God was sent so that it will be preached and so that it will heal. That's the purpose of the word, to preach and to heal. Let's go to St. Luke 8 chapter. Sent just for you. St. Luke 8 chapter, starting at verse 40. And it reads, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. The people surrounded him, and the woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me. I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that Jesus was not hid, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. So this woman with the issue of blood says she touched Jesus. And when Jesus asked, who touched me, because he was surrounded by the people. So the disciples was like, Jesus, what do you mean who touched you? All of these people are around you. And you ask who touched you? How do we know who touched you? And he said, look, somebody touched me. I know that this particular touch was different. Because when Jesus would normally heal someone, he would do the touching. He would do the laying on of hands. But this particular touch didn't come from him. He wasn't doing the touching. This particular touch drew something out of him, that same virtue that he released into someone that he touched, that he laid hands on. That same virtue, that same power is what he felt. That's why I got his attention. And so everybody looked at the woman with the issue of blood. And then they began to back up from her. So now she had been exposed. In verse 47 it says, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling. She was afraid because Jesus asked, who touched me? But then Jesus comforted her. And daughter, be of good comfort. You've done nothing wrong. The reason why I asked who touched me is not to embarrass you. I just had to know who had this kind of faith. And then he told her, thy faith has made thee whole. Now go in peace. Let's look at this in another passage, St. Matthew, the ninth chapter. St. Matthew, the ninth chapter. Sent just for you. Starting at verse 20. And it reads, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Now listen to that. Now, We just read in Luke where it says she touched him. But here it says she touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. She said within herself, if I may but touch his garment. Now it says she touched the hem. The hem is the bottom part of what he had on. The part that was dragging on the ground. The hem is a tassel of twisted wool. One was required at each of the four corners of the outer garment. Pharisees considered tassels special marks of sanctity and sought to enlarge them. The thread of each tassel was to be deep blue to remind them of their duty to keep the law. Let's turn to Numbers right quick. Numbers, the 15th chapter. Talking about the hem. Numbers 15th chapter. Starting at verse 38. Actually, starting at verse 37. And it reads, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord. So this was the purpose of the ribbon of blue, to remind them of God's commandments and do them, not just remember them, but to do them. And that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. So this ribbon of blue, it was twined, it was bound lace, it was thread. The word for fringe here means tassel. So the idea of the tassels were to be sewed on the corners of the mantles or outer garments with a thread of blue, a blue thread. The ordinary outer Jewish garment was a rectangular piece of cloth. Tradition maintains that the threads of the tassels were white to symbolize righteousness, that there was a conspicuous blue thread among them to symbolize the commandments were of heavenly origin, and that the arrangement of threads and not was of great importance, for they symbolized the 613 precepts which the law was believed to contain. So this ribbon of blue represented the word of God. So that's why it's interesting that the woman with the issue of blood, she didn't just touch any part of Jesus. She touched the hem of his garment. She touched the area where the blue thread was. Glory to God. That represented the word of God, the promises of God. For she said in her heart, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, the area where the blue thread is, the fringe, tassel, if I may but touch that area, I may be made whole. Then it says, she knew the blue in the tassel represented the word of God. And that here was a true Israelite whose hem was not worn in hypocrisy. Glory to God. The word of God is true. She knew that Jesus was living a life that represented truth. He wasn't a hypocrite. It stood for the covenant of healing. And the word that had healed all Israel. So she acted upon her faith and it worked. She knew it because for the first time in 12 years, the blood ceased to flow. The blood stopped. The blood dried up. And it's interesting that she touched the hem. Because when we look at the word hem, another word for hem is blood. When we think about words like hemoglobin, it represents blood. Interesting that the word hem is used because the word hem, H-E-M, represents the blood. The blood that was shed. Glory to God. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. It reads, surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, the stripes that were filled with blood. His open wounds from where the blood flowed. With his stripes, we are healed. So she knew that the him represented the blood. The blood that flowed from Emmanuel's veins. The blood that was shed for our sins, the blood that was shed for our healing. She knew in her heart that if I just touch the hem, because he was sent just for me. Glory to God. Yes, I spent all of my money. I've been to all of these different doctors. But one thing I know, if I just touch the hem of his garment, glory to God, if I find the place in the word where it says he was bruised for my iniquity. He was wounded for my transgressions. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I'm healed. Glory to God. I'm saved. I'm delivered. I'm set free. Because he was sent just for me. Glory to God. I dare you to trust him. I dare you to reach out and touch his hem. Open up the book and find a place that says you're delivered. You're set free. You're healed. Sent just for you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for sending your word, Father, that we may be healed. That we may walk in victory, Father. Thank you for showing us, God, that it's not in a man, but it's in your word. Your word that you sent just for us. We thank you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Sent just for you. Open it up. Find your place. Whatever situation you're facing, find your place where it says you're healed. You're delivered. You're set free. God bless you. Talk to you next week. Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. Love you.